Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Today I am starting the first part of a two-part mini-series with Beyond Ritual. And I just want to start with a question. Have you ever been in a situation or relationship or just an opportunity and you thought, I'm not enough? Yeah, thank you. It's not just me. I'm glad. Good to know. We're going great. Maybe this was at work. You know, we get things that our bosses give us and sometimes they just all go wrong or we don't get it done in time and we can think, God, I'm just not smart enough. I'm not skilled enough to do what I need to do. Or if you're like me, you'd be sitting around the dinner table and tell a joke and no one laughs. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. I think you're lying to me, but I appreciate that. And you cringe and you think, gosh, I'm not funny enough. Or you lose a relationship or opportunity and you think, I guess I wasn't good enough. You know, enough is defined as being as much or as many as required. And in some situations, requirements make sense. You know, you go for a job because of the job requirements. At school, you have certain requirements to get through your schooling. But we put them in our relationships as well because people need things from us. They expect things from us, and we expect things of ourselves. You know, I try to be a better person. We all want to be the best versions of ourselves. But the area I want to focus on today is how we try to be enough and our relationship with God. Because we can think things like, oh, I don't pray enough. I don't pray hard enough. I don't read the Bible enough. I don't read it long enough. We see someone really respond to a rather irritating person with love and think, gosh, I am not gracious enough. I'm not loving enough. I'm not Christian enough. Or if we don't have a relationship with God, well, I'm not good enough to even start that because I've done a lot of things and my life, my history isn't clean enough to be able to approach him. We place these requirements on our prayer time, our Bible reading, our church attendance, our how many people we share the gospel with a day. And I know when you lay it out like that, it sounds a bit crazy, but I think if we're honest, we can admit that we all kind of fall into this system of requirements. But the thing is that God has not asked us to meet requirements. He has invited us to respond in relationship. I want to say that again because I think that it's really important to catch the heart of this and the heart of the passage that we're going to go into today. God has not asked us to meet requirements. He has invited us to respond in relationship. Because requirements say you're enough when you do X, Y, Z, when you tick these boxes, and it's based a lot on what you can do or achieve or earn. But relationship says you are enough. Full stop. There's no clause at the end of that sentence because you are enough. You are worth something because you are, because you're here and you exist. There is nothing to earn, especially love. All God wants with us is relationship. And we see this in the passage we're going to look at today, Hebrews 8, which describes God doing away with requirements in order to have a relationship, trying to help his people get away from convincing him to love them or trying to earn to be loved and live out of a place of knowing that they are loved, of actively being loved. So let's go ahead and look at this passage. If you open your Bibles or pull up your phones to Hebrews 8. So the first few verses in Hebrews 8, 1 through 5, talk again of kind of what we've looked at with Tim and Matt and David of the high priesthood and a bit more about what they do. But we see the language change when we hit verse 6. And we're going to read verses 6 to 9 at this time. So verse 6 says, but now Jesus has received a superior priestly service. just as he arranged a better covenant that is enacted with better promises. If the first covenant had been without fault, it wouldn't have made sense to expect a second. But God did find fault with them, since he says, "Look, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a covenant with the house of Israel, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors on the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue to keep my covenant, and I lost interest in them, says the Lord." So this language of covenant that we see here, I find really interesting. So what Scripture describes as a covenant is when two parties come together to form an agreement. And what happens is one party, in this case God, sets up the entire structure. So what this is going to look like, what are the expectations of the agreement, what happens when those are fulfilled, how they are, what happens when they're not. And the second party, all they do is simply step forward in an act of affirmation, and that's how they take part in this covenant. A lot of times in the Old Testament, that was represented by a ceremony where there was a literal stepping forward by the second party. It's kind of like God does, it's not 50-50, it's not even 80-20. God does 99.9% of the work. He writes all those lengthy terms and conditions that we all say we read when we tick the box, but we don't really. We just like scroll through. I don't know about you, but I couldn't tell you what the terms and conditions are on anything that I own or download. Maybe you're really thorough and you read them. But, and all the Israelites had to do in this passage, all we have to do is go that 0.01% and step forward. But as we read in Hebrews 8, that wasn't doable. Like, the Israelites couldn't manage that. What happened was that they doubted, they sinned, they became distant from God, they rebelled. And I think it's easy for us to give the Israelites a bad rap. We can read the Old Testament and be like, these guys, man, they just couldn't get it together. What's up with them? Like, we're so much better than that. I don't do that. Like, you know, I don't wander the desert for 40 years. You might not literally be wandering in some desert for 40 years, but we all have periods where we rebel against God, where we sin, where we mess up. And we can definitely identify with not being able to meet this system of requirements that has been set up to be able to fulfill that. But what we see in Hebrews 8 is that God sees where they can't step into. He sees where they're struggling and they couldn't affirm the covenant. And the first thing he says is, I've lost interest in them. Some versions say, I've turned my back, which is terrifying. I read this and I was like, oh, please don't do that to me, God. Thank you. But that is countered by how this passage starts off, which is saying through Christ, there is a better covenant with better promises. God didn't stop at turning his back on it or accepting the rejection that he received of his covenant. He created something new because he was so desperate to be in relationship. We can demonize, you know, religion. It can become this R word. Or like the Old Testament and think that it's silly and write it off, all these rituals they used to do. But these things are grounded in relationship. And nothing portrays us better than this passage. So we have now, through Christ, 100%. We couldn't make that 0.01%. So God says, fine, I will go the full 100%. You know, I've asked you to be my people and you couldn't hold up your end of that affirmation, even though you didn't have a lot to do, to be honest. But that's fine. I see that and I'm so desperate to be in relationship with you. I will go the full 100%. And this is done through Christ. And he basically is declaring in this act of fulfilling the terms, fulfilling the requirements. He's saying, okay, you couldn't be my people, but now it's time for me. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to fulfill this for you. So where does that leave us? We look at the next verses, 10 through 13, and this explains the new covenant and the change that's been made. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And each person won't ever teach a neighbor or their brother or sister saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least important of them to the most important, because I was lenient towards their unjust actions and I won't remember their sins anymore. When it says new, it makes the first obsolete, and if something is old and outdated, it is close to disappearing. I love this section because the language here is so relational. We went in verses 1-5 talking about how things used to be done with the high priesthood and the rituals, to using words like know God, to talking about writing his words on our heart, forgiveness. These things are very core in relationship. And in these verses, we see that there's nothing to earn, but there is everything to gain and every reason to respond. Reading this passage, I thought a lot about a friend of mine, Molly, and she knows I'm sharing this story, but she's quite embarrassed that I'm comparing her to God. And she and I lived together with two of our really close friends for about a year, and it was great. It was like your best mates in a house. It was a really good time. But during that year, it was also a really difficult time for me and my mental health. I was struggling severely with depression and had about a month out of that year where I was absolutely broken and having continual breakdowns. And when I say that, I don't mean just like crying over a cup of tea, like literally on the floor, people having to come help me. And I don't know about you, but when I have dealt with things, especially with my mental health in the past, I was honest and I definitely sought help at different times in my life, but there was always something I didn't say. And there was always a feeling or a reaction I didn't show because it was too far, it was too much, or I didn't know how. I was scared, I was ashamed, so I always held back. In this month, I guess maybe because I didn't have it in me anymore, I held nothing back. Everything that I had never said and never showed to people was laid out for Molly and my two other friends because they were living with me. They were always around me. They couldn't avoid it. And as I started to get help and start to see the light at the end of the tunnel in this time, I remember having a conversation with Molly, and I was doing what I like to do a lot. I was ranting a bit and saying, you know, I'm really trying to be better. I just want to be 100% Steph again because I felt like I'd really lost myself and you guys shouldn't have to carry me. And I just want to be the friend you guys deserve, and just going on and on and on. And she let me finish and then waited for an uncomfortably long time before she said, stop trying. Steph, you don't have to convince us to love you. And she told me, you know, we know that you're not 100% Steph right now, and you're trying so hard to be, but we don't expect that of you because we know you're not capable of it in this moment, and that's okay. You don't have to be. And I use this as a really practical example of what God's saying to us in Hebrews 8. You do not have to convince me to love you. I already do. And yes, you may forget to read your Bible or like just shoot a quick prayer up in the middle of the night because you really didn't take time to during the day, or miss church or sin or snap at someone. But those little things, I'm meeting you where you're at. So yes, like in that moment you struggled, but that's okay because I'm stepping up and I'm stepping in to fulfill that requirement so that there's grace, so that my love for you never decreases. And it can't increase. I'm gonna tell you that right now. You can't earn more love because God has already given it all to you. So the same way that my friends allowed me to not just not be enough because I didn't have it in me, but leave behind the requirements of being enough, God does that for us. So what do we do with this really powerful idea? How do we react to it? Because the last thing we want to do is just bring a whole new list into our head of like, well, because God did all of this, here are the things I need to do, and then beat ourselves up when we don't do it. Probably sounds a bit crazy, but that's what goes on in my head a lot. So I hope there's some people with me on that. What we do is we go back to Hebrews 8, and in verse 10, I love this because it says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And some versions might say establish with the house of Israel. The word that is used, the Greek word that's used in this phrase, is syntelloso. And what it means is two factors working together to reach fulfillment. I love that idea that as God is saying, I'm establishing a new covenant with you, he's not establishing a new set of requirements. He's establishing a mutual and active relationship. You know, I did have to do some things to further my relationships with the friends who lived with me during that time because it was hard. And words were shared and things were witnessed that were really difficult to process. So I did have to go to Molly and say, how do you feel about everything we just went through? Are we okay? Where do we go from here? I did have to spend time with them because I'd spent so much time cutting myself off and isolating myself. So there was, in a sense, an effort in relationship, but it wasn't to affirm our relationship. It wasn't to confirm any kind of covenant or agreement. It was to simply further what was already there, and what was already being fulfilled by them agreeing to be my friend and to love me. And it's the same way with God. When we respond in relationship, it's not a whole new set of tick boxes. What it is just really treating God like a friend, like you would a family member, someone else in your life that when you feel distant from, all right, what do I do to draw near to them again? That is not a requirement. It's an effort out of love. And it's affirmation of that covenant that God has established with us. So how do we do these things? I can say respond in relationship all I want. It's like a kitschy phrase, but like it doesn't mean anything if there's nowhere to go with it. How do we create something that is healthy and active, but not ritualistic or requirement? I think the first thing we do is let Jesus be Jesus. I know, right? That sounds so simple, but it's so poignant. Like, let Jesus be Jesus. I have a really hard time with this. I had a point where the biggest lesson I learned at theology school, you're all welcome, you don't need to get a degree now, is that I'm not Jesus, which might come as a surprise to some of you. But most of you are probably like, yeah, I know Jesus is not some white American girl. So I really, really wanted to be like Jesus, because that's the whole point of being a Christian, right? You're supposed to be like Jesus. And so I would do these things to try to be like Jesus, and it came from a good place. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I love him. I want to be like him. But it became this, I didn't do that. I wasn't like Jesus. I fell short here. I wasn't like Jesus. Oh, I should have done that, and I just missed it. I wasn't like Jesus. To where I was lying in bed, beating myself up, feeling so guilty for everything I couldn't do. And I was having a discussion with a few of my friends, and my friend's just she's like, Steph, you're not Jesus, and you're never going to be. And it sounds blunt, but it was said out of love, and it was true. And this idea of trying to be perfect, you know, I really wanted to be perfect because I cared about Jesus. I cared about this message, and I thought that's what we were supposed to do. But in that, I took Jesus's place, because if I was perfect, there'd be no need for him. And I don't know about you, but that's like a responsibility I don't want on my shoulders, being Jesus. Like I can, no offense, I can barely make up for my own stuff other than like everyone else's. But like I think about, you know, maybe I could like not sin for like a minute, but then someone does something and irritates me and I might have a pleasant thing that comes out of my mouth, but in my head I'm like, oh, you. That's not Jesus. And that's it. I'd be done. I'd be out of the job. Like that simply. And so I need to let Jesus be Jesus. We need to let Jesus be Jesus in the areas that we are trying to find requirements. We're trying to meet standards in order to be like Christ. There's a big difference between being like Christ and being Christ. And I really want you to be relieved of that burden today to be Christ. Please. So what this looks like practically, I think it's just being honest about where we are trying to meet requirements. Even if you've never considered that before, or you have and you're like, I mean, but like it's for a good reason. Like just because it has good intentions doesn't mean it's the best thing for you. So really thinking about where the language of enough has made its way into your life. What are the things that you feel guilty about that maybe you shouldn't, that you've beaten yourself up over? And to take those thoughts captive, pray over them. So in a sense, recognizing it for what it is and why it's there, you know, being honest with yourself and being like, I know this is a good thing, but I'm really being hard on myself. It's taking it too far. Releasing it. Right, Jesus, I'm going to let you be you in this situation. And then get accountability. Because even as I'm talking, all these things I'm suggesting can become another list for you if it stays in your head. But when you have someone who you trust coming alongside you and lovingly saying, how's that going? I know you wanted to be better about a regular prayer time. How's that going? That is so much healthier and relational than me sitting like in bed being like, oh, I was supposed to have prayer time today. Or I was supposed to have for this long. I better do it for 4 hours tomorrow to make up for what I didn't do today. Like, it's so much healthier for us to outsource from people in our lives. And the second thing we can do is respond in relationship. Now, this looks different for everyone because we're all different people and we're in different places with God. So I don't have an ABC to fix this for you. But I can tell you what's really helped me. The first thing being that I looked at my relationships here. So when I feel distant from a friend or I'm trying to become someone's friend, like, what is something that I do? For me, I spend time with them. I do things for them. I talk to them. That helps. You know, talking to people is really helpful when you're trying to be friends. same thing with my family. My family's all in the States. Like, I have to make an active effort to spend time with them. Okay, so how does that translate to my relationship with God? Well, like, prayer is communication with him. So just like I would have coffee with a friend, maybe I go to a coffee shop and take my Bible, put in some worship music, you know, whatever gets you focused, and I pray to God just as I would a friend. And go to him with my problems and spend just quality time with him. The other thing I would suggest is something that has really inspired me from the book of Revelations, which is probably a weird thing to say, because if you've ever read Revelations, maybe you don't want massive inspiration from that book. There's a lot going on. Very end times. There's a lot. We'll ignore that. So there's this verse that says, "Return to the love you had at first." I love that, because I think about who I was when I first accepted Christ, and I read the Bible like my life depended on it because I was so hungry for this God who had started something in me. And this was a little bit of rebellion, so excuse that. But I used to skip lunch at high school. We weren't allowed to leave sight. And I would leave sight and go have lunch with God in the park. I would call it lunchtime with Jesus. And I would just talk to him. And I would do it once a month on the anniversary of when I'd accepted Christ. Because it was just time for me to be like, I recognize I'm still, you know, working things out. I'm still learning how to live as this new creation. But it's all because of you. And I just want to give that back to you. So maybe think about the things that you did when you first accepted Christ. What habits can maybe translate or be adapted into your present day life? Because those things, while they were habits, were done with the right intention. They were done from a place of hunger for relationship. They weren't done because you should, or that's what Christians do, or that's what's expected of you. So going back to that could really give us perspective. Yeah, I think that on the other side of this coin are those of us who have maybe stalled or not started a relationship with God because of this idea of enough and this struggle with requirements. You know, and that could be, you know, you haven't started a relationship with God, or you have started one, and to be honest, if you're honest with yourself, have kind of walked away from it. And I'm not saying that for anyone to feel shame. I'm saying that because I think a lot of us have been there before. And for this situation, you know, obviously the let Jesus be Jesus, just recognizing that you don't have to clean yourself up to come to God. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row. Spoiler alert, you're not gonna. Like, we're all works in progress, but it is the progress and not the perfection that we're trying to live in. And then the other thing in being responding relationship, I would encourage us all to think about ways that we can step forward into that relationship, just as you would with a covenant, and affirm all that God is offering you. Affirm this joint effort to love one another, to be improved by one another, and to just journey together, because that's all God's really asking us to do. So I'm going to invite Helen and the band to come up to just lead us in response. But as I do, I really want us to spend some time just thinking about where that language of enough or this feeling of requirements has kind of bled into our lives, and take a moment to really be honest and really assess that. And then I want us to take some time to think about how we can respond in relationship with God. Maybe thinking back to your relationships here on earth, or how you were when you first committed your life to Christ, or, you know, if you haven't done that yet, thinking about making that choice to make that response now, because it's never too late and you never have to make yourself good enough to receive this from the Lord. Amen. Yeah, so we're just going to create some space to do that now. And I just want to leave you with this, my heart for today. What I want for every single one of you is this quote that I've been thinking of a lot from David Foster Wallace, which says, "The truth will set you free, but not before it is done with you." I don't want any of us to leave this room without letting this truth that you don't have to meet requirements, you just have to respond to a relationship, really hitting us and sitting with us and causing some things to shift. So yeah, just use this next space to explore that and allow that to happen.
Brilliant. Why don't we do that? Why don't you just close your eyes? And I want to invite you to consider your relationship with the Father. And I encourage you to dare to ask him, are you stuck in habits and rituals? Are you really hard on yourself? Or are you enjoying the intimate relationship that he's made possible for you? I love the image of going to a coffee shop with a friend and going to a coffee shop with Jesus. Imagine you are sitting with Jesus now, because he's here, and if you were talking to him, what would you say to him about your relationship with him? What would he say back? When Steph was explaining what covenants were like in the yonder year days, she said about how one person did everything and the recipient really just stood into agreement. And you might want to do this physically. If you're able, you might just want to do it kind of internally. But maybe you want to come to the point, or you could come to the point where you can choose again, or for the first time, to step into the relationship, away from the ritual, beyond the ritual, and into the relationship. And maybe you want to stand symbolically of doing that inside. Just saying, Father, I am choosing to connect again. I'm choosing the relationship, Jesus, that you've offered me. Not the list of demands that I put upon myself or that I think are attached, but the relationship that you've offered me. You might want to stand into it. You might want to kneel. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence with us. You see our hearts. You know us. Lord, you see us as we kneel, as we stand, as we sit. We choose you. Help us choose you. Help us to lean into you, to go beyond ritual, to go beyond requirements into relationship. Help us choose you. We choose you. Lord, I pray for those people in the room who have been walking with you a long time. Lord, I pray for revelation and reminders of first love with you. First awareness of grace. First joy of the release when the Holy Spirit filled us first. Remind us of the first, Lord. If you haven't yet given your life to Jesus, it's as simple as accepting who he is and what he's done, that he's done 100% of everything for you. To stand into that freedom. The great thing is we get to give him all of our rubbish, all of our sin, all of the junk and our whole selves. And I just want to invite you to do that. If you've not yet given your life to the Lord, then just pray with me. Just in your mind, pray these words, Lord Jesus, I see that you've done everything to make relationship with the Father possible. I'm sorry that I live my life my own way. And I choose to live life your way. With you, my Lord and my Savior. Teach me your ways. Let me walk in relationship with you. Amen. If you prayed that with me for the first time, that type of prayer, then maybe at the end you just could come forward and I'd love to chat with you. But we're going to, Ben's going to lead us in our response through some sung worship. And I want to encourage you, even as we stand together in worship, even as we continue together, to choose relationship. Go beyond ritual. Don't just automatically go into, well, this is how we sing. But choose relationship.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.